everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited.
It's Thursday, August 6th. The NFL is coming back in less than a month, and we are diving deep into division win totals, our favorite props. The Thursday episode of Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You is gambling episode. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford, who welcome back into the show.
We're back. Let's go. It's been so long.
Matt, it has been a very big day for you as your beloved Washington football team laid out their brand new helmets. It's the best thing the Washington football team has done in the last 25 years.
I hard disagree. How about that we're calling them the Washington football team? Let's fly. The last time I was on this podcast, I wasn't sure if I could say the name or not. Let's go. I'm really proud of them, man. Like, they might not be great on the field, but they sure have cool looking numbers on their heads. We'll take that.
We'll get into their win totals. We're going to cover the AFC East. We're going to cover the NFC East. We're going to pick two props. We're going to have 10 total picks together. And we're going to do this fantasy draft style. We're going to pick our most confident ones up top, or ones obviously that we feel less likely to happen. And these two divisions, there are not a lot of great bets in these two divisions, Matt. But we're going to try to make this as fun as possible. And we're not going to bog you down with a ton of weird stats and crazy numbers. We're going to get you somewhere to understand each of the teams, what their odds are, and moving forward as such. But Matt, you know, we haven't talked in a long time. We've talked to Gabe, obviously, about this. How confident are you that this season gets going on time?
Not confident at all. I mean, maybe it gets started on time. But, you know, one of the things that you guys have talked about, you've said, you know, there's just sort of no way you can do the bubble in the NFL. And you watch what's happened with MLB. And you watch what happens with the NBA. And there's a clear contrast between the two of them. One's working, one isn't. You know, I think the MLB might be dying so that the NFL can live. We'll see. Maybe that's not the right analogy, given that it's an actual health crisis. Didn't mean to be insensitive. But I do think that the NFL is going to have some chaos this year. So, you know, we're talking over unders. It's funny, like, none of them make cash. If they hack a few weeks off the season, all of this is irrelevant. They might do that by tomorrow. But, you know, I think it's still a good conversation because, you know, we're sort of talking about these teams in general, but using these as a peg. So I'm not very optimistic, but how are you feeling? Because I know this changes all the time.
Well, I was feeling a little down today, and then I turned on Twitter as I woke up this morning and saw that
there's a way Russell, to feel happy.
That Russell Wilson has an alter ego, Mr. Invincible, or some crazy thing like that. And I'm gonna be Mr. Invincible. When anyone asks me what's happening, just say, we're playing the whole season. We're doing it. We're playing the whole season.
Go. By
the
way, I'm in.
I like Russell Wilson a lot. I think he is much closer to is it Mr. Unlimited? This is the thing. I don't even know. Zuri's correcting me in the box. Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Worldwide.
What I say? Well, I don't even know what I said now. It's such a random thing. You're right. It doesn't matter. Whatever. But
Zuri Russell, wrote, who cares?
Yeah. Russell Wilson. I'd like Russell, but man, he is corny. All right. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the show. We're going to talk about gambling. We'll give you our picks. So like we mentioned, this is a really tough two divisions to go for. And I'm going to hate myself for this first pick, but I'm going to do it anyways. I think I'm on the ball here.
Can't wait.
I'm taking the Cowboys over 9.5 wins. Over 9.5 wins. It's a high number, high juice, I should say, 155 or, you know, 170 some places, 160, somewhere around there. It's a lot of juice to lay on this, but I really don't want to do this. And I'll tell you why. this way I don't want to do it, but I have to. I have to. Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, to me, don't terribly work out well together. And there's obviously a definite disconnect there when he doesn't call him for months, a week after they have the job. There's something not going right there. But when you look at their roster, you look at their offense, and you look at their defense, and the potential they have with just kind of a fresh coaching staff, right? Someone that can just guide them a little bit better. Someone who just doesn't clap on the sidelines every time something bad happens, right? Someone that has a Super Bowl pedigree as a coach. And Mike McCarthy has been open, at least right now, to more analytics, to doing things a little bit smarter, and not letting, you know, the old school mentality, which I think Jason Garrett was part of, getting his way. But there's a few other reasons for this. The Cowboys last year where 1-6 in one score games. That typically reverses the following season. So even if they're 3-3 in those games or 4-2 in those games, they're going to win at least 10 games. And they also had 9 potential game tie or go ahead fourth quarter drives in 4 games against playoff teams. And they only got 2 field goals out of those. It's not going to be as bad this year in those situations. They kind of statistically have got to be better in close games and against better teams. Their schedule also works out pretty well for them. They play very easy pass defense. And you're going to hear me throughout this, by the way, talk about defenses they're playing that, you know, teams are playing and kind of quarterbacks teams are playing. I think those are very important. You look, have to look at pass defense on the schedule and quarterbacks on the schedule. I don't really like strength of schedule. I think that's kind of silly to talk about because things change so much. But pass defense, they play some easy pass defenses. And that to me is another sign that they're going to move the ball really well on offense. And I like their opportunities to win 10 games this year.
I feel like there's 2 kinds of teams this year. There's teams that are going for it and there's teams that aren't. And when you throw in all this chaos of the travel and potentially, you know, teams that are going to rest players that are going to opt out, that's going to be a real issue. So I think that's a reason why a lot of people are going to be taking a lot of unders, even though they're less fun to root for. I will say Dallas is one of those teams that's going for it. Dak Prescott has his whole financial future to be playing for. You know, I know that Amari Cooper just got the big contract, but that team has a lot on the line. Mike McCarthy is doing the comeback tour, has been a good coach. I'm never high on the Cowboys. I think the media always overinflates them, and I can't stand them as a fan of the Washington football team. Having said that, I think Dallas really legitimately has a Super Bowl shot this year. So I like this over.
I'm with you. Like, I overvalued them last year and obviously bit me. It bit me hard. They were kind of my surprise NFC team, I thought, last season. And they just, you know, when you have a new coach, I know this is a weird year, so it's hard to really, you know, grasp maybe a new coach this year, but that fresh blood energizes you sometimes. And I think that they'll kind of be energized as a team because, and you're right, they are going for it this year. So Dallas over 10, my first pick, excuse me, over 9.5, I should say. Matt, where are you going?
I'm going to stick in the NFC East. And not only am I going to stick in the NFC East, I'm going to stick with Jason Garrett. Ooh, I am going to go, Jeff, with the Giants under 6.5, and I'm going to lay the -130. So there are a few reasons why. First of all, you're going to hear me talk about coaching a lot. Now, you should correct me if I'm wrong here, but a new coach in Joe Judge, who has never been a head coach at any level, is going to have to learn how to do that during the middle of a pandemic.
Yep.
That is a serious red flag. I know everybody talks about, oh, he's spent time with Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. They've never prepared for a pandemic before. They're doing it for the first time now, too. Huge disadvantage. Second disadvantage, Daniel Jones in that offense is learning the Clapper system. They're learning Jason Garrett's system, and they have to learn Patrick Graham, their new defensive coordinator system. 1 year as a defensive coordinator, by the way, for the last ranked Miami Dolphins defense last year. Should be good prep for the 30th defense last year in New York. Personnel problems is my big second reason, Jeff. Huge personnel problems. They do not have a good roster. Their left tackle, Nate Solder, out. That O-line is in shambles. Jeff Schwartz is not walking through that door, guys. They're going to have a tough time on the offensive line.
Of course.
I want to mention a few more of their personnel before I get to my big reason here. Daniel Jones. Okay, everybody, as a Washington fan, again, I'm a little sensitive to the Daniel Jones-Dwayne Haskins debate. Everyone has anointed him the preferred young quarterback in the NFC East. The guy went 3-9 last year, okay? And he beat Washington and the Dolphins. Those were the only teams he beat. Meanwhile, their best receiver is a guy named Darius Slayton. He was their leading receiver last year. I don't know if that's sustainable. Evan Engram coming off a foot surgery. And here's the big thing. Saquon Barkley has a lot to think about this year. So if he's following the Christian McCaffreys, the Ezekiel Elliotts, this is the year leading into his pre-agency year where he's going to start to negotiate for that new contract. If it's the middle of a pandemic and he's a little banged up and the Giants are 2-7, he's out. He's not going to play. He's not going to risk it. And trust me, they have to play the whole NFC East, which is going to be tough usually. They have to play San Francisco, the Rams, Tampa, Baltimore, Cleveland, Seattle, Arizona. They're not going to be good, and Saquon's going to want to shut it down. So this to me is a lock under. I am positive about this one.
Yeah, and if you look at their schedule, there's only three or four games when you're like, okay, there might be a favorite in those three or four games, right? I mean, that's like your football team twice, and maybe in Washington,
maybe
they're you know maybe in Washington they're it's an even spread. The Bengals, like that's it. They're not even gonna be favored in a lot of games. Daniel Jones turns the ball over too much. Yep. He fumbles the ball too much, and now you add in a conservative play caller in Jason Garrett, who's just going to try to run the football, which again, it does not work when you don't have an offensive line. Now they have Andrew Thomas to play left tackle as a rookie, but there's no practice time. I don't trust rookie offensive linemen to be up to speed and play great right away. You have a good defensive line. I would say the NFC East has above average defensive lines. Your Washington football team, the Eagles have an above average defensive line. The Cowboys have some good pass rushers. So These other teams are just better. So I love this Giants under 6.5. I know you like to stick it to them a little bit. All right, let's get to my next pick here. I'm taking the Eagles, and I'm going under 9.5 here at -120.
Okay.
When I started this process, I was going to flip the Eagles and the Cowboys. I was going to do it. But when you dig into the numbers a little bit more and the rosters, it just kind of makes clear sense that the Cowboys are a better roster right now, and a healthier roster right now, and they play an easier kind of schedule for what they need to do. And so as much as I like Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, that group together, I like it. But, you know, Philly has got to stay healthy, which they haven't shown that they're able to do, which is hugely important as well. But they play a really tough schedule, and they're not going to be favored in probably half their games, at least heading into right now. And they also play really good pass offenses. They have basically the third toughest pass offense schedule in the NFL. Like their defense is going to be taxed. I'm not sure their secondary right now, Matt, is up to that task of playing at that level. So I could easily see them going over 9.5. But if we're putting a bet on this, I'm taking the under. And last point, and you know this well because you're an NFC East fan, there has not been a repeat winner in the NFC East since 2004. It's remarkable. Yeah. And so I know that it's fun to look at these stats and look, there's no way this trend is going to continue, but I think it does. I think the Cowboys retake that spot in the division, and the Eagles are just under 9.5. I think 9 wins is probably where they end up.
I like your take here a lot. I would have had a hard time handicapping this one. I will just say this, you know, for the thing I like about the Eagles is they sort of milk the talent out of their roster, right? Like they seem to get something out of 1-53. And I think a deep team is going to have an advantage this year. But the other thing is, other than the magical Super Bowl season, Carson Wentz in his career, 7-9 his first year, 5-6 his second year, 9-7 last year. They haven't had that much success for all of the talent that he possesses and that team has around him. I don't know about their receivers this year. Like there was a lot of question marks. It's just basically the track record. And usually that's when you like to take an under and assume something's going to go wrong.
And one last point too, offensive line is a position obviously I'm near and dear about, but you know, they had to bring back Peters to find a spot for him. And Brandon Brooks is their right guard. Fantastic. Out for the season.
Yep. Huge. So loss.
That's, I worry about those things for the Eagles. And I'm not worried about Wentz's health exactly either, but he just, you know, that injury prone tag might be something he has to deal with.
Yep. And there's no Nick Foles to bail him out this year or last year. All right, man, here's my next pick. This is the pick I've been looking forward to the most because I am not only going to take the Buffalo Bills over for even money, but I think I have them at 9. That might be 9. It might be 8.5, but I'm going to call it 9. Not only am I going to make this case, I'm going to make this case without ever once mentioning Josh Allen. Are you ready
for
this?
How can you do that? How can you not mention the quarterback?
Watch me do it, Jeffrey. So first of all, the thing I'm going to keep harping on with all of my picks, and when we do the other divisions, this will remain a constant, is coaching. Buffalo has an amazing coaching staff. They've made the playoffs 2 of the last 3 seasons with New England in their division. They've done it with guys like John Brown, Lorenzo Alexander, Frank Gore. I'm not even going to mention the quarterback. They have a great coaching staff. And this season, with all of the stuff going on, they're going to need a Herculean coaching effort. But they have a lot of continuity, which brings me to my next point. They're returning their entire offensive line. You know, they lost star Latulale. How about that name drop? He opted out, but they drafted Ed Oliver. So he's going to sort of be able to pick that up. They had the number 2 and 3 ranked rush defenses the last 2 years. And most of those guys are still there. They've got a great wide receiver core, like an underrated receiving core. John Brown, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. That's pretty nice. Frank Gorgos, they replaced him with Zach Moss and TJ Yeldon. Thoughtful continuity throughout. There's a sneaky good signing they made. Josh Norman, who I have my gripes with Josh Norman. His best work was that season where they overlapped with Sean McDermott when he was the defensive coordinator in Carolina. So maybe he'll be able to reclaim him a little bit. It's a lot of football talk. Let me talk to you about this coronavirus, Jeff. There's going to be some problems this year. The teams that are going to have an advantage are the teams who don't go out, or the teams who bubble up, who stay in quarantine. Buffalo is in the best state outfitted to handle the coronavirus. It's New York. Shout out to New York. We've done a really good job after a tough couple months. There's nowhere to go in Buffalo. This isn't Las Vegas. This isn't LA. This isn't Miami. This is a team that's going to be sequestering themselves because there's nothing else to do. What are they going to do? Break quarantine so they can go to Applebee's and have a Mai Tai? This team has everything to play for, a great coaching staff. Tom Brady's finally gone, and they have a built-in bubble because there is nothing to do in Buffalo. I love the over, and I can push with 9. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, you're definitely wrong. You're right no about chance. The point about the quarantine stuff. You're right about that. That actually is a valid point. And Richard Sherman, by the way, mentioned that. Look, he's like, Santa Clara has nothing to do for us out in San Francisco. Like, they're an hour from the city. Like, they're not close to San Francisco. So that makes sense. But the fact is, you didn't mention the guy that's going to cost them the chance at this opportunity.
Don't need to.
And that is Josh Allen. Allen is not a good quarterback. He has been below replacement for his first 2 seasons in the NFL. People brag, Bills fans brag about 58% completion percentage. They brag about a quarterback in the bottom third in almost every advanced metric that measures quarterback play. And guess what, Matt? They have the number one jump in the NFL in pass defenses they faced this season. They make the biggest jump. And last season, the Browns were, Browns were 7-9. And everyone said, the Browns are going to win 9 games. And these are vastly different teams. I get it. But you look at the Browns last season. They had the number one jump in pass defense on their schedule. And Baker Mayfield had a terrible season. Mm-hmm. This stuff is very important to look at who they're playing. Not really the entire teams they're playing, but segments of each team. They take a huge jump in the pass offense they face as well. Tre'Davious White might sit out, might not. We'll find out about that. But I am not betting money on Josh Allen, the guy who threw
Don't
a
have
deep
to.
Pass. But he's, dude, this is, they won games 14-7 last season. You have to, the offense is part of the problem.
Yeah, but their defense is awesome.
But they have a very slim margin of error. And if Josh Allen gets no better, they're not winning 10 games.
Look, this is not a Josh Allen bet. This is a coaching bet. This is the AFC East is weaker bet. The rest of that division is totally ripe for the taking. And this is a continuity play. They've got other than Belichick, obviously, they have the best coach in that division. So they're going to have a pretty easy time winning games. And they don't have a lot to sort of figure out in training camp in the preseason. They should be able to start out hot. I think those teams that have good defenses are going to win games early. And all of a sudden, if they're 3-0, 4-1, something like that, this is a pretty easy bet to win.
They play the Jets, the Dolphins start out. So they easily could, and then they play the LA Rams. They could be, you know, a team that comes out hot, which will just drive me crazy. Cause you know, Josh Allen will complete like, you know, 57% of passes, and people be like, see, Josh Allen, good.
I'm thinking just too myopically, dude. Like, get out of your mentions. It's not Josh Allen. This team is about winning in spite of Josh Allen more than
Teams you're betting on a team to in 2020 to win in spite of their quarterback. That's a ridiculous way to look at
it. I'm not saying they're winning the Super Bowl. I'm saying they're winning 9 or more games. That's not that big of a stretch with the best defense potentially in the league at all.
Yeah, Buffalo, and you can find them at 9, 8.5. Look, 8, I'll tell you what.
Take the over, you get even money.
At 8.5, it's not a bad bet to go like, I think they're in the 8 or 9 win range. I don't think they're like in a 10-win range. It's hard to win 10 games, man.
It's very hard.
Like, it's very hard. There's only a handful of teams win 10 games every year, and one of them is the team that I'm going to next, the New England Patriots.
Nice
over
segue.
9.5. Over 9.5. I do radio for a living. I'm a segue,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Segue artist here. Just right. Like a,
calm down, Joe. Get to the pick.
Yeah, there we go. New England over 9.5 wins plus 135. That was good. This is a more of a nostalgia pick more than anything else because
of course
the roster is decimated. We know that. But they have the greatest coach in the game in Bill Belichick. Cam Newton.
Wake me up when this take is over. This is ridiculous.
Cam Newton is healthy and ready to go.
Yep.
I will ride with the Patriots until they stop making me money. And for years, they have made me money. Part of that is Tom Brady, who's now Tampa Brady. I'm riding with this, Matt. It's not one of those where I have a great case other than just I'm betting with the ticker, man. I'm betting with the heart on this one. Give me – and everyone's going to bet the under, right? It's juice to the under. Juice big time to the under. But I get a rejuvenated Cam Newton who needs this season to go well. A rejuvenated Bill Belichick who's been hanging out in that house all day with Linda and that dog. He's ready to get to work. He's ready to get back to work.
This sounds like one of my
show. This league, it is your exact. It's the exact take of the Bills. Just utter crap and nonsense that sounds really good into a take. I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it again. I'm doing the Matt Ford. Give me Patriots over 9.5 juiced, not even juiced. I should say plus money plus 135.
So you're taking New England to win 10 games because Bill Belichick has a dog. That's what I got out of that take. Here's
dude that dog won the draft.
Two questions for you. Two questions. First of all, how often does a team with a historically great defense like that the next year just completely revert and regress to the mean? They had so many, I owned them in fantasy last year, so many special teams touchdowns, so many pick sixes, so many fumb sixes. That doesn't happen at 2 years in a row. First problem. Second problem, are we sure Cam Newton is starting at the beginning of the season?
Yes.
How? He's not going to have any preseason. You're going to have this weird old training camp. We don't exactly know how healthy he is. Are we sure that they're not going to roll out there with Jared Stidham just because it's familiar? That's a very Belichick
familiar.
Thing
to do. He's been there 1 year. He threw four passes.
Yeah, he's been there for a full year. That's as long as Jacoby Brissett was there when he came in. That's as, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play until he played and was good.
Look, you have the ability to start. Let's say Cam Newton's healthy. This all predicates on Cam Newton being healthy, right? You have a chance to start.
If it does.
You have a chance to start with Cam Newton, healthy Cam Newton, who has
do been we know he's healthy?
All the battles. Everything I say is assuming he's healthy. I think he is. He's throwing the football. He looks good. He's at UCLA with motivational videos. He's ready to go, man. He's throwing with Mohamed Sanu.
This is a pathetic take. Be better than this. This is my stuff. You, I'm the Instagram troll.
This is betting with your heart 101. The first two picks I gave you were stat-based. We're oriented in that direction. They're great picks. This one, you're betting with your heart. And the Bills, by the way, you're betting with your heart too, which is a terrible pick.
No, I'm betting with logic about this quarantine. Here's the thing, Jeff. When you play the stock market, there's this thing that happens where you've been riding these companies so long and then there's this bubble and then it bursts. And it's all about, did you get out? Were you too greedy? New England has made us all a lot of money for a long time. It's just not going to happen anymore. It's just not.
Plus 135. I'm not even being greedy here.
Plus 135. You're taking a shot. Well, I talked a lot of crap, and then I'm about to give you just a terrible pick that as I'm reading it and see that myself having to present it, I don't feel great about it. But I'm going to take the Washington football team. I'm going to take them, over 5.5. Here is why. Again, we return to coaching. So I wanted to take the under on this really badly. I looked at the facts. I went with the over. Ron Rivera went 6-10 every full season, or better, every full season he had in Carolina. Okay? He's a very good coach. Additionally, Jack Del Rio, defensive coordinator, has some things to say on Twitter. That's one thing we know about him. The second thing we know about him, he takes decent or bad defenses and turns them into great ones quickly. When He took over the Denver defense when he was the coordinator there. They went from 24-2 in his first year. Carolina, when he got there before that, when he worked with Rivera, they went from 28th to 5th. And the Washington defense, they have some real pieces to work with, right? They draft Chase Young. People forget, like, Landon Collins is there. They signed Ronald Darby. They signed Kendall Fuller. Their only real problem is the middle linebacker spots. They still have Ryan Kerrigan. Montez Sweat really came on last year. They legit could have the best defense in the division, and I'm not just saying that. Like, they have the pieces. The obvious problem, the offense is horrible, right? But they should be able to kind of grind out some close games, and with this weird season, it is possible that that's what happens. Now, a couple things about Dwayne Haskins. He started playing a lot better down the stretch. He did not look great at the beginning of the year. And remember that they were just like a completely dysfunctional team. They were competing. Their head coach for most of the season was now the Browns offensive line coach. Okay. They were really unhealthy. They had a really tough schedule. They had the 32nd ranked offense last year. They have to get better than that. Right. But here's the last thing. They're not going to quit under Rivera. And even if Haskins is bad, there's this one big wrinkle to this season, and it's that Alex Smith has been cleared to practice. So if Dwayne Haskins bombs, if he starts the season and he's 0-4, this isn't the regime that drafted him. They have nothing invested in him besides the previous regime's pick. The whole organization is up for grabs, right? What if Alex Smith comes back? It's actually in the organization's best interest to play him, because if he's an asset, then they can move him or they can build around him. They should figure out if he's any good. So if he plays, all of a sudden they could win some games. So I don't exactly know what the deal is here, but I will say this over is actually juiced. People are laying the money to take Washington over. I think it's because they're not going to have that terrible lack of home field this year because there's not going to be any fans. So I actually, as a DC fan who had season tickets, we haven't been showing up for a while. So I think people are actually talking themselves into a good coach, some running backs, and a great defense.
So there's a lot to like about this pick, just because if you look at the history of NFL standings, okay, I went back the last 4 years, and you typically find the second place team in every division at least has 6 wins. And to your point, you have the Giants being the fourth place team in the division. Every year there's one division out of the 8 where there's 2 teams under 6 wins. That typically is not back-to-back years, though. For example, it was like the NFC West in 2016. It was not the NFC West the following season, okay? So realistically, you're not going to have 2 teams again under 6 wins like we had this this past season in the NFC East. So just like historically speaking, this makes a lot of sense. I agree with you a lot on the defense. I like Ron Rivera a lot as well. And Jack Del Rio, just delete your Twitter, please. It would make things a lot better.
That'd be great.
It would be great. But I do think Haskins kind of got a bad rap last year. He was playing in an organization that was a complete wreck. And now he has a stable organization. Mitch Alex Smith. I'll tell you this before. I hope, just for his sake, because I've been hurt a bunch, that he does not play again. Like, I know that he wants to play again, but I hope he, it's not like, and people, I said this on Twitter, and people are like, well, you're holding his dreams down. I said, no, I'm not. I don't want him to go through that again, right? And if you look at his leg, I mean, it's his rehab is remarkable.
Yeah.
But we've seen historic. Now, he's been a mentor twice, right? To Colin Kaepernick and Pat Mahomes. And both those guys ended up being really good. And now he gets to be a mentor. And not, you know, he's cleared to be with the team now. It's not like he's doing this from afar. He's with Dwayne Haskins every day. I think that's supremely important. Scott Turner, their OC, is a young up and coming coach. He's obviously Norv's son. And so I think if you look historically at division rankings, this makes a lot of sense. And you're right. There's some juice on this, which means that the smart people are betting Washington over 5.5. All right, my last pick here. This is number 4. And guys, by the time we get to this part of the picks,
these are reaches. We've already been reaching.
To the board.
Yep.
I'm taking the Jets. Over 6.5 wins. I believe they're 6.5.
Oh my God.
And the only reason I'm doing this is just to troll Gabe. Because Gabe is a huge Jets fan. And he thinks Darnold is the worst quarterback of all time. And Adam Gase is the worst coach of all time. There's really no other reason to take the Jets over 6.5. Other than if you think Sam Darnold, I do, is a good quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. Last year, he played really well down the stretch when he got to get over his mono and get in the offense. Remember, he had a great preseason. He came out and got mono early on and was kind of never the same since then. And well, excuse me, until like the last month of the season, he played really well. So the question becomes, do you trust, you know, Adam Gase basically to not be crazy, which is tough to do.
No,
but I think the Jets can do enough to get over that mark and get themselves cashing at 7 wins.
Wow. Well, I will say that, that if that happens, then this one will not happen, because I also stuck with a bad team in the AFC East. And I also went over. I went over with the Miami Dolphins over 6.5. I have even money on this one. This is my last pick. As Jeff said, I'm the least confident in this. I came into this one just like my last one with Washington, thinking I got to hammer this under. But then I just, I got to be honest, Jeff, I forgot how much improved they are after this offseason. Three first round picks. They spent almost $180 million in contracts this free agency. Like, that's not a team that's trying to slowly rebuild. That is a team that actually thinks, hey, we're kind of close. I mean, they signed Kyle Van Noy, Byron Jones, Jordan Howard, Shaq Lawson. Those are guys who are not like, this is their big contract and they're in their primes. These are guys coming from teams that were competing last year to come into Miami and hopefully make them a lot better. Also remember, last year they beat the Colts, the Eagles, and the Patriots at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And they had the worst defense in the league. I mean, there is a serious, that is a serious credit to their coaching staff that they were able to do that. They also, on offensive line, I'm a little worried because they're not going to have the preseason to come together, and I'm telling you this, but they should have 4 new starters. So that's a huge upgrade, and I know that, you know, they potentially have a rookie right tackle, but they signed Ted Karras from New England. They signed Eric Flowers, who was actually great last year in Washington.
He was okay.
He was really good. I mean, he got a huge contract. So, I mean, tell the Dolphins.
It doesn't mean you're good, but continue.
Yes. I mean, fair. they signed Jordan Howard. They traded for Matt Breida. When did that even happen? Like, I remember that, but like, I don't think it like actually registered with me. And then there's, you know, this Tua thing. And if Tua does what he has done everywhere else in his life, he's a potential game changer. But if he's not ready, Fitzpatrick went into Foxborough and beat the Patriots last season when they were playing for home field advantage. Problem, very tough schedule. They do have the Pats and Bills twice, obviously. Chiefs, 49ers, Seattle. But they get Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Vegas, and the Jets twice. That might be 5 right there. I will say this. If you bet this, take them to make the playoffs plus 375. Don't just take the plus 100.
Yeah. So I'm going under here, and the reasons you mentioned at the very end are why. Their schedule is brutal. I love Warren Sharp's preview. He does a great job, okay? There's a lot of stuff in there, but you could pick through and see what you want. You know, right now he is the Dolphins' only favorite in 3 games the entire season right now. And that's my problem, is their schedule was so tough. And you mentioned all the new players, all the new draft picks, Tua Tagovailoa, who's healthy. I'm glad he's healthy. And all these things coming together in the middle of a pandemic in a state right now that is a hot spot. And so I worry about all those things coming forward. They play the number one toughest pass defense schedule, really defensive efficiency schedule in all of the NFL. Number one passing. And so it sets up, in my opinion, number one red zone scoring defense they play. It's just the schedule's so tough with a roster that needs to come together. So I like the under. But I could see, look, your point about taking them to make the playoffs is interesting, because if you think they're going to be better than 6.5, they're probably going to shoot kind of way up, and a playoff bet is worth it. All right, let's get to our props fairly quickly. So we're going to choose a couple props each week. I'm going with passing yards. Kyler Murray over 3950.5, and that's juiced pretty high at minus 150. This would put him, if you look at last season, that would put him between 11th and 12th for passing in the NFL. They added DeAndre Hopkins. Larry Fitzgerald's coming back. Christian Kirk as well. I was very surprised how well he played. 64% completion percentage, 3,700 yards as a rookie last season. So he just needs to get, you know, 3-4 more games to add 50 yards, and he's right at this number. You know, he was kind of in the upper third as far as efficiency last season on an offense that ran the ball really well, but just passing game, he's getting used to playing in the NFL as far as the system he's in, and Kingsbury's getting used to being a play caller. So I think Murray's going to have a great season. I think he can make a second-year jump like a Lamar Jackson made, like a Pat Mahomes. Now, obviously, not He's not winning the MVP, in my opinion. But I think he's going to make a big jump. He has all the weapons around him. So give me over here, 39.50.5. And it's juiced a little bit at 150, but I like the money here.
He's gotten a ton of buzz this season, which kind of makes me a little bit worried. I mean, that's a very tough division. And, you know, I don't know.
Well,
I mean, are you scared off?
Okay. I mean, Seattle's defense is not terribly good at the moment. The Niners secondary is their weakness right now. The Rams, I'm when we get to the NFC West, I'll tell you right now, my favorite pick in almost all the NFL is the Rams under, I think, 8.5 or 9. I just think that he has a chance to, look, he needs 50 more yards for over four games to get this done. I mean, it's like, it's not a lot of yardage compared to what he had last season. So that's why I like it.
Fair enough. I'll be quick on my last one. I'm sticking in with a pick I basically made earlier. I'm taking Saquon Barkley under 1,250.5 rushing yards. That number kind of bounces around everywhere. First of all, bet unders this year with player props. I mean, Jeff, despite what you just laid out for Kyler Murray, if somebody misses a game, they're not going to hit their overs, okay? And we have no idea how this season's going to go. If the Giants are bad, Saquon is not going to play, all right? He's going to play for, he's going to try to get that contract. He's not going to get hurt. Nate Solder opted out, rookie left tackle. Also, this is how the Giants season starts. Steelers, Bears, 49ers, Rams, Dallas, where they'll be behind all game. Washington, Tampa's number one rush defense last year. Philly's number three rush defense, and Washington again. They're not going to have any success running the ball, and then he's not going to play anymore. So that's a lock.
I love this bet so much. And we did the show. We did a show like this previously, and we would talk about making a bet actually happen. I'm actually physically going to my offshore right now and making this
allegedly.
Bet. Not allegedly. I'm actually doing it. This bet right now, I think, is the favorite bet I've heard on our show. Besides my Eagles bet, I like a lot, and my Cowboys bet. And obviously the Bills under, because you're crazy with that. This bet is fantastic. You're exactly right, because if they start slow, the incentive for him to kind of continue playing around COVID, it doesn't make sense when he's heading into kind of a contract year. The one concern I do have about this, I'll just give a quick counterpoint, is that Jason Garrett's going to try to run him in the ground. He's going to try to do it. Now, whether or not that happens, to your point about being behind in a lot of games and the Giants not being very good, is the question mark. But I think that he will try to do this. But, dude, this is a great bet. I'm finding it right now, and I'm really, literally, here it is, regular season rushing yards.
Nice.
Oh, I love it, man.
I am looking at teams this year where there's, like, one outsized star. The Giants are one of them. You know, like Von Miller and the Broncos potentially could be another. I'm having a tough time coming up with another example off the top of my head. But any of those teams where it's like one guy is like, you know, Aaron Rodgers decides he's going to opt out, the Packers fall apart. Like there's so many teams where if one guy just says, I'm out, or he, you know, has to quarantine for 2 weeks, the team falls apart. So I'm looking at those this year for an edge for unders.
It doesn't feel great.
I don't like how that feels, but, you know, it's life.
I'm with you there. All right, this was a ton of fun, Matt. We've done this before many times. It's nice to be back with you,
me
talking
too,
gambling,
man.
Roasting each other, which is fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Zuri laughing in the chat. Moving forward, this episode will be gambling on later in the week, and we'll have football conversations. We get news that happens, but we're going to focus a lot on gambling. We're going to cover every division heading in the regular season, and then we're going to have our picks on Thursdays for the week. We'll probably throw in a Thursday pick every week, so we have you guys ready for that, and then we'll get ready for our games on Sunday. So this is how we're going to do it. I love gambling. Matt loves it as well. Hope you guys do too. I know it's a big industry that's happening right now, and we'll have you prepared each and every week. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll cover everything in the NFL. Take care, everybody.